Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Next week's inauguration of Donald Trump will put new focus on him and his incoming administration. So will an event, actually a series of events, the following day. Women will converge on Washington to make an anti-Trump women's rights statement. Women who can't make the trip are holding sister marches across the country, including St. Louis. The so-called Women's March is in an effort to question the new president's campaign proposals, much of his campaign rhetoric, and also to champion women's rights. Joining me in studio are Helen Petty and Beth Prisosic, organizers of the St. Louis contingent, that is, for the Women's March on Washington. Kim Gammel is an organizer for the Women's March on St. Louis. Thank you, ladies, so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let me start, Helen, with you, and I'll read something that I read. I think this might have been in the New York Times, something I read in getting ready for the program. A writer saying the march is shaping up to be a feel-good exercise in search of a cause. What do you make of that?
That's interesting. I haven't read that, and I don't know that I would agree with that at all. I think there's definitely a cause. The national organizers have released a statement about that this is an inclusive march, women's rights or human rights. So that really encompasses everything: racial equality, immigrants' rights, LGBTQ rights, and that, you know, that kind, it kind of ex- it's all of those are. Belong to all of us. So I think there's definitely a cause. I think that's selling it pretty short.
Beth, is there a potential that there are too many causes, that some of the message might get lost because there are so many things that work here?
Yeah, you know, that's actually what I enjoy about this march, is that they are not pointing it towards one specific cause, that they are allowing people to march for their own cause and whatever they feel is important. So as Helen said, you have immigrant rights, you have LGBTQ rights, you have women of color rights, you have criminal justice reform rights, you have all of these issues that people are really passionate about. And I think the national organizers are doing a great job of pointing out the intersectionality of those and showing that this is something we all have to care about. We all have to care about all of those issues. And so it's been nice, I think, for me to be able to go to the march knowing personally why I'm going, but also recognizing all of the other reasons that other people are going.
And I'd have to, Kim, I'd have to think that the St. Louis contingent would be pretty much in lockstep with what the national organizers are thinking.
Yeah, that was our initial goal, was to be a part of this national and actually now worldwide movement. Here in St. Louis, you know, there have been women of color fighting in the streets for a couple of years now, and we want to enforce that message as well as all the messages that were just mentioned, LGBTQ, the immigration concerns, and anyone in St. Louis that feels threatened by any of the new administration can feel free to have their voices heard.
Was this thing developed, do you think, more because of Hillary Clinton's loss of the election or more because of Donald Trump's rhetoric during the campaign?
I don't believe it's because of Hillary Clinton's loss, but I think, and I can only speak personally,
sure.
I think that for me, the realization that we could vote in someone who has been known to be a misogynist and a racist and a xenophobe was extremely disappointing. And again, me personally, I knew that I couldn't just sit back and wait to see what happened. I knew I had to take a stand.
What's your thoughts on that, Helen?
I definitely don't think it was because Hillary lost. Like was just mentioned, I mean, his rhetoric, the things he said and done, I mean, through the campaign, but really through his whole career, are really scary on a really personal level to a lot of people. I don't think that anyone is safe. And so that's why I'm going. That's why a lot of the women and men that I know are going.
And men, do you have a fairly large contingent, Kim, here in St. Louis?
It's hard to track that. We have a Facebook event page as well as a website for people to RSVP. We haven't actually gone through to know how many men and how many women, although we do frequently get asked to make sure that men are included or that it's okay that they attend. And we said, absolutely. Anyone who values the rights of women and all those people who are marginalized.
Hmm. Beth, what is the objective of this march? I mean, it may seem like that's obvious, but what do you hope will actually come of it? He's going to be president for 4 years,
right,
and he is who he is.
Right. Well, the national organizers recently released a statement, and the purpose of the march that day is to show Donald Trump and other representatives, Congress and the Senate, that we as the American citizens are watching them to make sure that our rights are protected over the next 4, 8, however many years. But the national organizers have also made it very clear that this is a movement that's does not end on January 22nd, that this is a way for people to become community organizers, to become active in politics and in the process, and that hopefully this momentum carries through with not only national actions, but also local actions, and people really become engaged in the process and protecting their rights. And just to piggyback on what others have said, this is not about being upset that Hillary lost, and this is not about Democrats, you know, having sour grapes. This is about protecting what are, I think, basic human rights for so many people.
But what happens when everybody goes home? You know, I look at the Black Lives Matter movement, which has really kind of hung together, been fairly cohesive since Michael Brown's shooting 2.5 years ago. What happens when people go home from this event?
Well, as I said before, I think one of the strengths of this march and this movement has been that people are allowed to have priorities. So I don't think that it will hang together as a cohesive group. I think people will be motivated and inspired to go back and work on the issues that they are most passionate about. So people will go back to hopefully local, state-level immigrant right organizations, for example, and put their efforts there. And people like myself, who I'm very passionate about reproductive rights, will volunteer at my local Planned Parenthood. So I don't think it's going to stay together as a cohesive movement, but hopefully people will go back to their particular areas and their particular states and hometowns and work.
Well, the reproductive issue should be a big one, I would think, given the time of year this is being held as an anniversary, pretty much, very close to the anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that will be, but we'll be getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, and Planned Parenthood is one of the sponsors of the march, so I anticipate a big turnout and presence there from them in D.C.
Ellen, do you want to comment on bringing this message home with you?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard from a lot of the women who are going on our buses, and these are not lifelong activists. They're not organizers. They're women and men and children in the community who have just really felt like now is the time that to stand up, let their voice be heard, and, you know, they feel compelled to get on a bus with us and travel overnight on Friday and then back overnight on Saturday because it's that important. And, you know, action can look a lot of different ways. You know, not everyone needs to be in the street. Sometimes you can just pick up your phone or get on your computer and send an email. But I think it's really important for people to go and be there and see hundreds of thousands of other people who don't look like them, who don't sound like them, but are coming together for a greater cause, and it can really just give you a sense of a larger community. Mm-hmm. And for me, when the election results came in, it was really hard to go out and look at people and think, this is the country that I live in. This is the man that was voted into office. And so I think it's just a starting point for a lot of people. And like Beth said, what that looks like when you get home, hopefully it'll look like something. Hopefully it's an example for our children. For me, you know, I'm going to still be doing what I'm doing, calling and emailing and mini organizing in St. Louis.
Evidence of the commitment, I think, is in the fact that you're taking a bus to Washington, D.C. I've made that trip by bus.
And have you?
I'll tell you, it's a grueling trip. Yeah. Kim, you're not doing that.
No. Yeah. I get to sleep in my own bed the night before.
Yeah.
So here in St. Louis, you know, we've got a pretty active event page on Facebook, and people have been, you know, sharing their stories and their experiences. And I believe that everyone is committed to continuing this fight, that this is really just a beginning, and that I think we all are committed to making sure that all human rights are protected.
What exactly is going to be going on here?
Sure. So the march itself starts just outside Union Station, and we are going to march down Market Street. So it starts at 9 a.m. When we started, we weren't sure how many people might sign up. Right now, it looks like we've got about 3,500 that have RSVP'd. And so we're going to march down Market Street. We anticipate that taking about an hour for everyone to get there. And then we will have five speakers that will, for just a few minutes at least, but speak to the crowd about issues that are important to the St. Louis community. Mm-hmm. And then there's another group, not part of our group, but who actually is putting together a volunteer fair. It's an action fair, and it's going to be at the YWCA in downtown St. Louis, and that'll be following the rally, and it goes until 1 p.m., and that's where people can, like you said, what can we do afterwards? They can go to that action fair, learn about different groups in the St. Louis community, and find out how they can help.
How many people are you anticipating here?
We've got 3,500 that have RSVP'd on that Facebook page. There's over 6,000, however, that have said they're interested. So not quite sure. We're trying to track that as best we can.
Sure. Helen, they're talking about 500,000, I think, in Washington is the latest number that I've seen. What's going to be going on there? Same format as we're going to experience here in St. Louis?
So there's some speakers lined up. I'm not exactly sure of the lineup yet. I don't know if they have that finalized. And the speakers start at 10 Eastern time. And then we march. We didn't get access to the mall, as we all know. But that's okay. We'll all show up and do it anyway. So the march is expected to go until, I believe, about 5 or 4. And so we'll be looking out in the next week to maybe hear a confirmation of the lineup of speakers. Do you know any more about that, Beth?
Yeah, they purposefully, the national organizers are not releasing a whole lot of information. We have a starting point for the march, but they're not releasing the route for safety reasons until probably a few days out. Mm-hmm. So we're not sure where we'll be marching, but we know where we're supposed to show up at 10 o'clock. And as Helen said, there's going to be a number of speakers, and then we will march.
Would you anticipate any conflict with police?
I don't anticipate that at all. There are going to be, of course, I'm sure, people in the crowd who are going to disagree with the purpose and the message that we have. I saw a few weeks ago that the Bikers for Trump organization is going to be in town the same day, but I don't anticipate any issues. I know the national organizers and, of course, everybody involved at the state and local levels is very committed to this being a nonviolent demonstration. I just really don't see that happening. I don't think there's going to be any clashes with police, clashes with Trump supporters. But I know they are bringing in and training some people to walk in the march and make sure that things don't escalate out of hand. So there will be – they're taking precautions, but nobody's expecting it.
How many people are actually going to make the trip from St. Louis, do we know?
So our bus has a capacity of 55. There's another woman, Tori, who's organized two buses that are leaving from the same point. So that's about 150 of us. I know that on the state level, they've also been organizing buses out of Kansas City. So for us personally, we have 150 that will be gathering on three buses.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like a pretty good contingent. Mm-hmm. We have to take a break. Let's do that now. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about the Women's March on Washington, which is going to be taking place on the 21st, the day after the inauguration of Donald Trump. And that is precisely the reason this march is taking place, because there is conflict with the people who are attending the march and some of the policies and rhetoric of our president-elect. We'll be back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Helen Petty and Beth Prusosik, organizers of the St. Louis contingent for the Women's March on Washington. Kim Gammel is an organizer for the Women's March here in St. Louis. We're getting some email and Twitter comment from folks. This has come up, I'm sure you're well aware, during the course of the planning for this event. Not everyone's real happy with the inclusive aspect of this. So let me read you what I have in front of me here. Some of the organizers say that they are trying to do better, but a community meeting last night, I believe that is the Women's March STL, was full of racist statements and attacks on young black activists. What do you make of that, Kim?
We did have a community meeting last night, and the reason for the community meeting was because, we did want to make the concerns of those, especially women of color, we wanted to hear those. And unfortunately, the Facebook forum isn't very good about making sure that all voices are heard. So we did want to make sure that any concerns that anyone had were raised, that they were listened to, and we left it really open to whomever wanted to speak. So whether it was a woman of color or a white woman, we gave them a chance to have their say. We will be following that up with a statement. I would say that our group, we have had some missteps along the way. When we first formed, it's a small group, and it's only been, just as these others know, it's only been a few weeks of getting this together. And we wish that there had been more women of color in the organization stages, and we're doing everything we can now to make sure that all those concerns are heard, because they are valid, and we want to do everything we can, because as we said at the beginning of this interview, it's not about one particular cause. It's about each person's individual fight, and we want all those voices heard on that day.
So what can you do? I mean, you're working through Facebook primarily from what I'm gathering here. Would you then be inviting, and are you now inviting people of color, people who have concerns, to contact you through Facebook? Is that the idea?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where it began organically. I mean, it began with people, posting concerns, and we've tried our best to wrap our arms around it and get any misinformation corrected, but to own up to any mistakes that we've made. And we are very genuine in that, and we're hoping that this is just the beginning, and this is an important discussion that needs to take place, especially in St. Louis.
What mistakes? You've alluded to that twice. Feel you've made?
Again, when we first started, the lead organizer had posted on several social media outlets that she was wanting to organize this event. And so the few of us that raised our hands, joined. And I know that she reached out to specific groups trying to get women of color. And, again, under the time constraints, we just plowed forward. And I think that was a misstep. I think we could have done better. We could have gone to churches, and we could have gone to schools, and just really connected with the local activists who've already been doing the work for years.
Helen, similar kinds of things and comments have been made on the national level as well. What's your take on this? And is this at the point now where perhaps it's distracting or deflecting from your overall mission in this effort?
No, I don't think it's distracting or deflecting at all. I think it's really important to have uncomfortable conversations again and again and again. And here we are, three white women, right, talking about
this
issue.
That's been the complaint.
Absolutely. And so I certainly don't have all the answers, but I think admitting where you've misstepped and, mistakes that you've made, and keeping on trying to do better is really, really important. And I've heard from a lot of women of color who aren't going to go. And it is not up to me as a white woman to tell them why they should show up. It's up to me to shut up and listen to their concerns, and for me, still go and still do the work as a white person fighting for them, whether it's recognized or not, whether, it's really, really important to me to, include all of those opinions and voices as much as you can. When we were organizing the bus, we did a fundraiser to help women who didn't have the funds for the tickets go, and we wanted to focus on getting those funds to women of color and LGBT women. as a priority over white women to try and make it as inclusive as possible. And we didn't get nearly as many as I would have hoped. And that exposed a huge, in my own personal, like, friend circles, a big gaping spot that I need to do better on. Who are these women of color that I can reach out to? Why don't I have more women of color friends?
Yeah. Well, that's another story.
Sure.
You know? So that's, yeah. And that's part of the story. Yes. I think that probably is. Beth, let me come back to you for get your take on this, because clearly this is an issue that is getting a lot of attention, but I'm surprised by it given the makeup of the national organizers, because it's really quite a mix. You've got an African-American and a Muslim and others. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a surprise that this has taken this turn.
Well, I would say, yes, you are correct, that the National Organizing Board is very diverse, and they made a very concerted effort to make sure everybody was represented on that board. But I think where the issues have come up is that it's exposing how unchecked privilege is in this country. And so many women wanted to join and then were not prepared, as Helen said, to have the difficult conversations. And I think, to their credit, the national organizers have been posting on Facebook, which is similar to the St. Louis March, how the national and state level organizing has been playing out. They've posted some really provocative, really intense things that have caused a lot of anger through some women in the country. And I think I won't say it's unfortunate, because it's needed. And if some people don't show up to the march because they feel that they, as white women, are not welcome, that's, I said, an issue that is much larger that we need to address, and that these women who aren't feeling that they're being listened to need to realize that how they're feeling right now is how women of color have felt all their lives.
Can you have an adequate conversation of this magnitude on Facebook? We all know how popular
no,
it is.
No.
That was the reason for having this community meeting last night, because actual conversations need to take place. And, you know, we have a short time before this march is, you know, just over a week away, but that we are committed to making sure that these conversations continue after this event.
The issue that we've been talking about basically is a black-white issue. There are other issues, as we've alluded to, Beth, with regard to the reproductive rights, for instance. It's going to be a big part of the issue here. I, again, have a headline here from the Washington Times, in which they say that pro-life people will be infiltrating, which is an interesting word to use, the Washington March, which makes me feel that these folks were made to not feel welcome if they feel they have to infiltrate the march.
Well, and I've heard that as well. And from what I've heard is that they're not infiltrating to stand against the administration. It's not that they feel like they want to stand against Trump and the next 4 years. They're infiltrating because they want to get into arguments with – they know there's going to be a large pro-choice – I mean, Planned Parenthood, as I said, is one of the sponsors. Yeah. They're not infiltrating for their – because they believe in the cause of the march. They're infiltrating to cause problems. And I've heard that the documentary that was created about Planned Parenthood a number of years ago that was altered and doctored to make it sound that they were doing things, those individuals are going to be at the march interviewing people. And then, of course, who knows what they'll do with that footage. So I've seen things about just be careful who you talk to. Don't necessarily spill your guts to everybody with a camera who asks. So, I mean, these things are coming, and there's many other rumors of who's going to be there and what's going to happen. I think it'll be fine at the end of the day. I think, as you said, if 500,000 people are coming for one cause, a few instigators will not ruin the day.
So you don't want to amend your comments earlier that you don't expect any?
I don't expect. I still stand by those. I do not expect any issues. No violence, no problems.
Reproductive issues, something that's being discussed here, Kim?
Yes. One of the speakers actually is a young woman who has been very involved with the local Planned Parenthood office and will be speaking to her involvement on reproductive rights.
Yeah. I think it's really important. I just want to say real quick to make a distinction between people who are personally pro-life, as a lot of my friends are, and to recognize the need for other women to be able to make that choice for themselves. So I would say of anyone who's, you know, pro-life for themselves is absolutely welcome at the march. I mean, that is never, you know, it's never been said don't come. You can hold a belief personally and recognize the right of and the ability of other women to make those choices for themselves.
Do you have any concerns that this is getting out of hand in terms of the kind of discussion we're having here, the issues that have emerged that, again, I think distract and deflect from what the overall mission is?
I think that there's a real
That's all right,
I can
go
ahead. I think
there's room for everybody.
Okay. There's a real desire for people to really want to, whatever the issue is, so, you know, to boil something down to, you know, it's this one thing. And I think what's missing from a lot of our dialogue locally, nationally, is nuance. And things are complicated. And intersectionality, like feminist intersectionality, it's you have to look at gender. You have to look at race. You have to look at economics. You have to look at religion. And it would be really great if we could just say, it's this one thing, but that's just not life. Life is complicated and messy, and you have to look at all facets. And I don't think that it waters down the message to address all of those things.
All right. Beth, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I agree with everything Helen said. And my thought also, I've been thinking this a while because, as you said, this has probably over the last 2 weeks to 10 days, more of these issues of the divisiveness of the march and the problems with the march, I think, are coming up. And I just find it, as a woman, and this being a woman's march run by women, a tad offensive that the general public wants to boil it down to, well, these are women and they must be marching for women's issues. And they're pulling out, as Helen said, these issues that we as women recognize are important, and we recognize the intersectionality. And it seems like other people don't want us to do that. They want it to be just a women's issues march, and it's not the women who want that. It's everybody else.
Have there been any issues surfaced with regard to gay rights? I know this is one of the things that people are going to be talking about, but I haven't heard any comment about concerns or arguments over this particular issue.
I haven't heard any arguments necessarily. I would say, again, one of our speakers and actually one of our main organizers is a lesbian, and she is going to speak on January 21st about hoping to protect the rights of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah. Helen, do you have thoughts?
I haven't heard anything particularly about that specifically, but certainly marriage equality and trans rights and all of that is, you know, included in this. And just one more thing, because I like to say lots of things, is that, you know, it is a time-honored tradition for people to try and divide us, and, you know, you're weaker when you're apart. So I think it's really important to, you know, just talking about the different issues and is that watering it down, you know, it's important to recognize our common humanity while at the same time not erasing someone's personal experience that a woman of color is different than, you know, mine.
Yeah. But it comes, Beth, at an interesting time. And we've all known what the rhetoric has been like and what the hostility level has been like and the anger has been like over the last year and a half or 2 years. You're coming into it right in the middle of all of this. So I guess it's to be expected that there's going to be some of this discourse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you said, and I think we were talking before we were on air, the Trump administration and the Trump campaign certainly heightened people's feelings about many things in this country. But I wouldn't say that we are only having these conversations now because of the campaign and because of him winning. I think many communities, as we talked about, Ferguson happened years before. And so we've been trying to have these conversations. And so I can't believe I'm going to say this on air in a weird way. Trump helped us move forward as a country in having these conversations because it really brought together people, I think, who were divided in their own causes, seeing that this administration, and I think we all talk about Trump, but Vice President-elect Mike Pence has some very, very scary potential policies that he would like to see enacted. And I think it's brought together a lot of groups who maybe were divided before this.
We've only got 2 minutes left, but let me get your take on this. I'll start with you, Kim. Donald Trump is going to be president the day, his first full day in office when all of this happens. What would you hope his response to all of this would be?
I certainly don't think I can speak for the president. However, I would hope that he takes a moment to hear what is said and understand, try to understand what the women and the men, whoever is gathered, just to understand what their messages are and to understand that he represents all of us.
Helen, I'll ask you if you can do it in 30 seconds.
My reason for going is because after he was elected, I didn't have very much hope at all. And I don't know that I still do, but it's important for me to go. I'm taking my 11-year-old son that, you know, even in the face of all of this ugliness and hopelessness, that you still show up and have your voice heard.
Beth, what do you hope from Mr. Trump?
My hope, and maybe I'm just more... I'm more pessimistic, I have a feeling, than our other two panelists. My hope is that just Kellyanne Conway takes away his phone and he does not tweet about this and just lets us have our moment without a tweet in response.
Well, I doubt if that's what
happened. Right, but that's my hope. That's my hope level.
But we will see. I want to thank you all for being with us. We've been talking about the Women's March on Washington, which is happening on the 21st of January, and also there'll be a sister march here in St. Louis on that same day. Our guests have been Helen Petty and Beth Prusosik, organizers of the St. Louis contingent for the March on Washington. Kim Gammel has been with us from the St. Louis march here. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.